لا يحصي عدد نعمه العادون ولا يؤدي شكره المتحمدون ولا يبلغ مدى عظمته الواصفون بديع السماوات والأرض إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأعتقد أن لا رب إلا إياه شهادة من لا يرتاب في شهادته واعتقاد من لا يستنكف عن عبادته. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الأمين أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بين يدي الساعة بشيرا ونذيرا فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وجاهد في سبيل الله المشركين وعبد ربهم حتى أتاه اليقين. فصلى الله وسلم عليه وعلى آله الطيبين المطهرين وأصحابه المنتقبين وعلى من سار على نهجهم وسلك طريقهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, in a very beautiful and concise hadith narrated by Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the Sahih al-Imam Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there has never been a prophet except that it was obligatory upon him to warn his nation about any evil that he knew and to advise them about any good that he knew. So this is the introduction to the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that just like the prophets before me, so too I must tell you each and everything that I know. Whether it's good or bad, I need to tell it to you. I need to inform you of anything that will bring you closer to Jannah or will take you away from the straight path towards the fire of hell. So this is an introduction telling the Sahaba that he is going to tell them something which might cause concern. But the only reason he's telling it to them is to protect them. He went on and he said, وَإِنَّ أُمَّتَكُمْ هَذِهِ Your ummah, this ummah of yours, your nation, جُعِلَ عَافِيَتُهَا فِي أَوَّلِهَا The early portion of it is the blessed portion, is the generations that will not be tested and tried. عَافِيَة, which means you have been protected from any evil. Your nation, the afiyah or the protection has been given to the first part of it. وَسَيُصِيبُ آخِرُهَا And the later portions, those that will come after them, they will be afflicted with many matters, with many trials and tribulations. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba that the early part of the ummah will be the blessed part. The part where there will not be too many tribulations, too many trials. But the later part will not be like the earlier part. The later part, many things, umurun wa bala, issues and problems will strike you. Tunkirunaha, you will reject it, you will find it difficult to bear. And he said that one fitna will come, one trial will come, one tribulation will come. One fitna will come, فَيُرَقِّقُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا And it will make the one that came before it seem trivial. This is a very concise and powerful phrase. The meaning of it is that so many trials will come, the one that comes after will make the one that came before it seem trivial. And to further emphasize the point, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on and he said, when a fitna will come, when a trial will come, the mu'min will say, هَذِهِ مُهْلِكَتِي This is going to cause me destruction. When a trial will come to the Muslim ummah, the mu'min, the one who has iman, he will say, this will destroy me. But then it will go away, the Prophet ﷺ said. And another will come in its place. So the mu'min will say, هَذِهِ هَذِهِ This is the one, this is the one that will cause my destruction. And so on and so forth. That each time the ummah is afflicted with something, the Muslims will say, this is it, this is our destruction. Nothing worse can happen. But that will be lifted up. And another will take its place. And that second one will be so severe that the first one will seem like trivial. And then the third one will come and will make the second one seem trivial.
This will be the case. This will be the scenario, the status quo of the latter part of the ummah, not the earlier part. The part that we are experiencing and living now. One fitna comes after another. Each time something happens and we think this is it, what worse could possibly happen? And then it goes and another takes its place, which was much worse than the previous one. Fitna, the Prophet said, plural, many fitnas will come. What is the meaning of fitna? We all use it a lot in our daily vocabulary, but what is the precise meaning of fitna? And it is very important, my dear brothers and sisters, that we go back to the Arabic roots of each word. Because the root of a word has a profound impact on its Islamic meaning. The linguistic root always has an intrinsic relationship with the Islamic meaning. The root fitna, fatana, means to test in order to purify. And that is why the goldsmith is called fatan. Because he purifies gold in a furnace. He throws gold which has not been purified, extracted from the mines, he throws it into a furnace in order to extract the pure from the evil. To take the real gold away from the elements that are not supposed to be there. So he is called a fatan. Testing and trying something in order to extract the best from it. It is obvious what the relationship is between the Islamic meaning of fitna and the original linguistic meaning. And that is that the fitna is a trial or a tribulation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test the people. Those who are evil from those who are good. This is the meaning of fitna. Allah azza wa jal will test and try people. Like a goldsmith tests and tries metals and ores. Ores that are extracted, he throws them into the furnace. Why? In order to purify, in order to extract what is needed and leave that which is filthy inside the furnace to them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that many fitan will come. And this is in accordance with the statements of the Quran. Allah azza wa jalla says in the beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut, Alif Lam Mim. أحسب الناس أن يفرقوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ألف لام ميم. Does man think, does he have the arrogance to presume that they will be left alone having said we believe and they will not be tested and tried وهم لا يفتنون? Does mankind think that that is all Allah wants to see? Oh Allah we believe, oh Allah we are Muslims and that is it. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ Of a surety we tested and tried those before you. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ And Allah will know. Allah of course knows the meaning of this verse. Allah will know the knowledge that you will be able to be rewarded or punished by. Allah will know those who are truthful amongst you versus those who are lying. This is the purpose of a fitna. Allah Azza wa Jal wants to test us. Who amongst us is truthful when they say we believe? When we say we believe, are we going to follow up that belief in action? Or is it just a verbal statement that comes out from our tongues and has no place in our hearts? Of a certainty, Allah tested the people before you. And then, because Allah wants to know a knowledge that will be rewarded or punished by those who are truthful amongst you versus those who are lying in their claims to be believers. And this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the sunnah, the methodology of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in another verse, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ Allah will never allow the believers to remain as they are until He differentiates the khabith from the tayyib, the filthy from that which is pure. Allah will not allow the believer to remain, because what is the purpose of life then? Where is the test? Where is the real result? What have you done? What have we done to earn Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy and blessing? Allah will never allow the believers to remain as they are until He tests the pure from the filthy. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تُفْرَقُوا Allah says in the Quran, did you think that you will be left alone? Did you think you would be left alone? وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ And Allah has yet to see those amongst you who will strive in His way. You think you'll be left alone like that? No trials, no tribulation, nothing to test the evil from the good. Verily, this is a part and parcel of being a human being. To be tested and tried, so that we can either be raised up in rank, or we take Allah's refuge, lowered into the depths. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once went onto one of the houses of Medina, and he asked the companions from the rooftop, he said, "Do you see what I see?" They said, "What do you see, Ya Rasulullah?" He said, "I see fitan," in the plural once again. "I see trials and tribulations falling upon your houses like rain." Like rain. Meaning that the fitan will be so severe, so numerous in quantity, no one, nothing will be protected from it. Nothing will be protected from fitan. Even if you're inside your houses, it will still fall upon you. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that fitan will come one after the other. Three of them, he said, nothing will remain untouched by. There will be general, international fitan basically. Not a single person except you will be affected by this fitan. Others, he said, they will be like the wind blowing in the summer, a strong wind. Others, he said, will be large and small. مِنْهُنَّ صِغَارُ وَمِنْهُنَّ كِبَارُ. Some fitan will be small, others will be large. So severe will the test and trial be that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that towards the end of time, the fitan will be so severe that a person will wake up, a mu'min, and he will go to sleep the same night as a kafir. And he will go to sleep a night as a Muslim, a mu'min, and he will wake up the next morning as a kafir. In other words, the fitan will affect him so much that he will not be able to remain firm to the claim that he is a believer. And he will do something, or say something, or believe something that will remove him from the fold of Islam. So severe are these fitan going to be. And the Prophet ﷺ also described for us in a very beautiful image the effects of these fitan. What happens when you accept a fitna, when you are tempted into it, when you fall into some type of trial or tribulation, versus what happens when you reject it. In another hadith reported in Sahih Muslim, he said, fitan will be continually presented to the heart, just like a carpet is woven. In other words, string after string, strand after strand, continually fitan will be presented to you, just like a carpet is woven, one after the other. So whatever heart accepts that fitna, that heart will be touched with a black spot. And whatever heart rejects that fitna, that heart will be touched with a white spot. Until towards the end, there will only be two types of hearts. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Fitna will continue to come, one after the other. Until towards the end of all of the fitan, towards the end of all of this, there will only be two categories of people. No third category to them. The first of them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, his heart is as white as snow. His heart is as white as snow. How did he become white as snow? Because each and every fitna that happened, he remained firm to his religion. Whatever happened around him, he was not swayed. He was not dissuaded from obedience to Allah, from the worship of Allah, from believing in Allah. Therefore, one after the other, his heart continually was spotted by white spots. Until finally it was as white as snow. And the Prophet ﷺ said, this heart, it will remain firm, nothing will harm it, as long as the sun and the earth are present. In other words, because this person has conditioned himself to reject fitan, no matter what happens, he will remain firm in his place. Nothing will cause him to be swerved from the religion of Allah. And the other heart, the Prophet ﷺ said, will be dark and murky. Dark and murky, not just a plain dark, but an evil darkness, murky darkness, colored darkness. The Prophet ﷺ said, like a container of water that has been tilted to a side. It's a beautiful analogy here. A container of water that has a spout coming out from it. Okay, the Prophet said, imagine this being tilted. What water will this hold?
No matter what you pour into it, the water will continue to fall out. So the Prophet ﷺ compared the heart of that person like this container. No matter what you try to do, it will not stay in his heart, it will continually flow out of it. No matter how you try to make it firm and fixed in the religion, nothing will change in it and affect this. This heart, according to the Prophet ﷺ, لا يعرف معروفا ولا ينكر منكر. It has no concept of good and evil. It has reached the depths of depravity. It has no concept of that which is good, nor any concept of that which is evil. إِلَّا مَا أُشِّبَ هَوَاهُ Except what his desires want. He has no fear of Allah, no belief in Allah. He does whatever he wants, he lives a carefree life. He does not have taqwa and iman to prevent him from doing anything. These are the two parables that the Prophet ﷺ gave. What happened, one fitna after another. Now what are these fitnas that the Prophet ﷺ is referring to? What are they? Well, if you want to be general, each and every incident that occurred to us as an individual, or to us collectively as an ummah, it can be classified as a fitna. Let me repeat that, and there are no exceptions to this. Each and every incident that occurs to us as an individual, or occurs to us collectively as a Muslim ummah, it can be qualified as a fitna. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal is testing us, is trying us, is seeing our reaction to that incident. Allah says in the Quran, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً We will test you with good and with evil as a fitna. If you get a job, that is a fitna. If you get fired, that is a fitna. If you're blessed with a child, that is a fitna. If you lose a loved one, that too is a fitna. A blessing and a catastrophe, both are fitnas. If a blessing happens to you, Allah Azza wa Jalla will see, what is your reaction to that blessing? Are you going to use that blessing to come closer to Allah? Or are you going to use it to be yet another barrier between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You get more money. Does that make you a better Muslim? Make you increase your thankfulness to Allah for giving you all that you have? Make you give more for the sake of Allah? Or does that make you more arrogant, more conceited, more wanting to spend for this dunya and not about the akhirah? Similarly, when you lose a job, when you lose money, does that make you more patient? Come closer to Allah. Raise your hands up to Allah and say, Oh Allah, help me in this time of difficulty. Or does that make you want to get money through any way possible? Halal or haram? What is your reaction going to be to each and every incident that occurs? As an ummah, as well as a collective ummah, what we do as a response to a fitna is the test that Allah Azza wa Jalla is seeing from us. So, each and every incident that occurs to us in our life is a fitna. However, there are certain fitna which are more, if you like, of a test than others. Not all fitna are at the same level. As the Prophet said, مِنْهُنَّ الصِّغَارُ وَمِنْهُنَّ الْكِبَارُ Of them are very large and of them are very small. Some of the fitna that the Prophet especially emphasized, especially warned us about, are the following. First and foremost, this world with all that it has to offer. The dunya basically. The Prophet said, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ Or Allah Azza wa Jalla said, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً Your money and your children are a fitna to you. Allah Azza wa Jalla is testing you to see how you react to that. Likewise, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, every single ummah has a special fitna. Special thing that will test and try it. And the fitna of my nation is money. وَفِتْنَةُ أُمَّتِي الْمَالِ This is the main fitna that will afflict the Muslim Ummah. Many of the nations before us did not reach the level of luxury that the Muslims have reached. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ Once when a large amount of gold and silver had come to him from different countries, and he was distributing it amongst the Sahaba, and he saw some of the Sahaba eagerly taking some of his money, he smiled. And he said, take, because this was halal money to take. Take! Because I swear by Allah, I am not worried that you will be poor. The Sahaba were poor overall. Overall, they were very poor. Many of them would not even eat a full meal a day. Yet the Prophet ﷺ predicted at that time, take as much as you want, because I'm not worried that you're going to be a poor nation. Rather, I am worried that this world will open its doors for you. This world will offer you all that it has to offer you. And you will start running after it and competing for it, just like the people before you tried as well. And that process, or in the process, you will be destroyed, just like the nations before you were destroyed. I'm not worried that you're going to be poor. I'm not worried that you're not going to be able to eat your fill, or you won't have your fancy houses and cars and luxury. No, quite the contrary is true. You will get all of this and more. But what will that cause? What will that lead to? You will forget about the Akhirah. You will forget about your main purpose in life. You will become so busy in this world, you will even forget that you have to pray 5 times a day. Oh, I have to work. I can't afford to pray the Lord Asr, Allah al-Barisha. I have to go to sleep early, I have to wake up. Even the prayer is something that even the hypocrites in the time of the Prophet used to pray, in the masjid. Even the hypocrites used to pray it. But in our time, because of this dunya, because of this world, we're busy with our studies, with our classes, with this, with that, and we forget the overall picture, why Allah Azza wa Jalla created us. So the primary fitna of our nation is the fitna of money and wealth and luxury and this dunya overall. This is the major fitna that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned us about. Another fitna that he warned us about was the splitting up of the Muslim Ummah. That our nation would be divided into many different groups. And this is what we see today. We are divided socially, ethnically, nationally, ideologically, theologically. There is hardly an issue except we find the Muslims have agreed to disagree. As the Prophet ﷺ said, your ummah, or my ummah, he said, was split into 73 different groups. And this is what we see today as well. This is yet another fitna that we have to learn how to deal with and cope. Another fitna that the Prophet ﷺ specially emphasized is the fitna of the opposite gender. The fitna of the opposite gender. Because men are a fitna for women and women are a fitna for men. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ said, I have not left any fitna which is more harmful to my ummah after me than women are. And the same applies to women as well, in the sense that they also be, or will be tempted by the men. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ encouraged early marriage. And Allah Azza wa Jal also forbade zina, and he said, إِنَّهَا كَانَ فَاحِشَةٌ وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Fornication is an evil path, meaning there is a halal path as well, that of marriage. The fitna of the opposite gender is a fitna that we see around us everywhere. We see what has happened to these countries that we're living in, when they have allowed their temptations to go unbridled. So many diseases, so many problems, all because they have not kept this fitna in check. Another fitna that the Prophet ﷺ warned us about was the fitna of conflict between other people. As Allah says in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. We have made you a test and trial for other people. So we find that mankind is a fitna to others amongst mankind. So the Muslims are a fitna to the kuffar, and the kuffar are a fitna to the Muslims. The rich are a fitna to the poor, and the poor are a fitna to the rich. The kings are a fitna to those that they rule, and those that all rule are a fitna to the kings. In other words, each group amongst mankind is tested and tried by another group. So the Prophet are tested and tried by their followers. Are they going to be patient? Will they give them the message? Will they be honest in their message to Allah? And of course, all of them were successful. Similarly, we are tested and tried by the Prophets. What was our response to the Prophets? Did we believe in them? Did we act upon what they say that we should act upon? The rich are a fitna for the poor. When the poor see the rich, what will their reaction be? Will they forget the purpose of life and only want to be like them? At whatever cost? Or will they realize that there is a greater richness, the richness of Iman and the richness of the pleasure of Allah? And also, the poor are a fitna for the rich. When the rich see the poor people, do they become arrogant? Do they become conceited? Do they think that this is a blessing that they deserve, they are better than them? Do they not share their wealth with those who are lower than them in status? And so on and so forth. There is not a single group of men except that there are fitna for other men. Culturally, ethnically, politically, socially. In every way you look at it, one group of people will test and try others. وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. We have made portions of you fitness for other portions. Another fitna that the Prophet ﷺ especially emphasized is that of fighting amongst the Muslims. Fighting amongst the Muslims. And this is one interpretation of the hadith I quoted you, that the Muslim will wake up in the morning as a Muslim and he will die in the night as a hereafter. As a kafir. And he will go to sleep as a Muslim and he will wake up the next morning as a kafir. Some ulama said the meaning of this is that when times of fitna occur, they will fight one another as Muslims and they will make their blood permissible. And when you make the blood of your Muslim brother permissible, you have left the full of Islam. Yet another fitna, which is one that we see around us all the time, is that of being attacked by non-Muslims and taking over our land and property. That of being humiliated at the hands of those who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This too the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned in many, many ahadith. So these are all some fitan that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about. But the question arises, what should our response be? Okay, we know that we're going to be tested and tried. We know that fitan will come to us one after the other. But what should we do as a response to that? Firstly, we raise our hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We humble ourselves in front of Him. We lower our faces to Him. And we make a dua that is a sincere dua emanating from the depths of our heart. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the companions. He said, تَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْفِتَنِ. Seek Allah's refuge from fitan. Seek Allah's refuge from fitan. Seek Allah's refuge from fitan. 3 times. All of the Sahaba said, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْفِتَنِ. We seek Allah's refuge from fitan. Likewise, in one hadith, a very long and beautiful hadith, we don't have time to narrate it completely, but this was a meeting between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, directly. And Allah azza wa jalla taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some du'as to say. And of the du'as that Allah directly taught our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the following. وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِعِبَادِكَ فِتْنَةً فَقْبِضْنِي إِلَيْكَ غَيْرَ مَفْتُونَ. Oh Allah, if you desire to test, to send a fitna upon us, then allow me to come to you before having been tested. Don't test me, it's too difficult. Allow me to come to you to reach you. In other words, cause my death before this fitna. This is a dua that Allah Azza wa Jalla taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always make this dua. Ya muqallib al-qulubi, thabbit qalbi ala ta'ati, thabbit qalbi ala meen. O you who turns hearts back and forth, make my heart firm, strengthen my resolve, strengthen my heart upon your religion, upon your worship. This is the first thing that we should do. Seek Allah's refuge from fitan. And if you're facing one, seek Allah's help in patience and perseverance in battling this fitan. Secondly, remain firm to Allah. Never doubt our religion. Never waver in our certainty that we are upon the truth. Because the whole purpose of a fitna is to test us and try us. The whole purpose of a fitna is to see whether our actions follow up with our statements that we are Muslims or not. The Prophet Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. There are those amongst mankind. They say we believe in Allah. فَإِذَا أُوذِيَ فِي اللَّهِ جَعَلَ فِتْنَةً لَا فِي عَذَابِ اللَّهِ. But when he is tested at the hands of other men,
In other words, the fitna of this world comes to him. A loss of power, a loss of status, a loss of wealth, a loss of this and that. He equates the punishment of men with the punishment of Allah. He equates the fitna that men will give him with the punishment of Allah. So he leaves his religion at that. He cannot bear the tribulations of this world. And he believes that by giving up his Islam, by being less of a Muslim, by not showing his identity, he will save himself from the fitna around him. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said, in the same hadith that I started off this talk with, regarding that one fitna will come and make the one before it seem trivial, he concluded this hadith by saying, whoever wishes to be saved from the fire of hell and enter Jannah, let his death come to him while he firmly believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same hadith that talks about fitna coming one after the other. The Prophet said, whoever desires to be saved from the fire of hell and enter Jannah, let his death come to him while he is believing in Allah in the last day. In other words, while he is sincere, while he is firm, while he is unwavering to his religion, fully confident that he is upon the truth. Let his death come to him. When will your death come to you? Nobody knows. In other words, you constantly, continuously, remain firm to your religion. Never compromise. Never give up what you know to be true because of the fitna of this world. And when that happens and death comes to you, then inshallah you will be saved from the fire of hell and enter Jannah. Thirdly, during times of fitna, we should increase our good deeds. We should increase our good deeds. The Prophet ﷺ said, as reported by Sahih Muslim, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ فِتَنًا لَقِطَعِ لَيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. Rush to do good deeds before the fitna comes. Look at how he equated good deeds with fitna. Because when fitna comes, people forget to do good deeds. On the contrary, people leave being Muslims even. Rush, badiru, race to do good deeds before fitna comes, which are as dark as the darkest parts of the night. In other words, people, during times of fitna, what happens? People become so confused. People become so careless about what to do, that they forget the fundamentals of their religion, they forget the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized the importance of worship during times of fitna. Simple fundamentals, the five prayers, the fast of Ramadan, the zakat that we give, the hajj that we go for, commanding what is good, forbidding what is evil, basic matters of our religion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't lose track of those during times of fitna. In another hadith reported in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, or Aisha actually reported that the Prophet woke up once in the middle of the night, in a flustered state, in an anxious state. He was worried and concerned. And he said, Subhanallah, exalted is Allah, what has Allah sent down tonight of treasures, and what has He sent down of fitna? Something must have happened that night basically. So the Prophet ﷺ was in an anxious, nervous state. And then he said, who will wake up the women, meaning his wives, in their apartments, to pray the Hajj basically? Who will wake them up so that they can pray? Look at how he correlates the coming down of fitna with praying the Hajj. And the Hajj is a voluntary prayer, voluntary. Imagine the 12 prayers. Let me repeat the hadith for you. The Prophet ﷺ woke up in the middle of the night, flustered, anxious. And he said, what has Allah revealed of good and bad? What has Allah revealed, sent down? Who will wake up the women? Look, he's even telling the women to go pray. Tahajjud. It is possible, the Prophet ﷺ said, that someone might be clothed in this life and naked in the hereafter. Meaning that they will be protected. They think they will be protected from the punishment of Allah, but when the Akhirah comes, they will have no protection against that punishment. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, worshipping during times of fitna is equivalent to emigrating toward to me. Emigrating to the Prophet ﷺ. In other words, when the Muslims emigrated from Mecca to Medina, they gave up their entire lives, their occupations, their wealth, their houses, they left everything for the sake of Allah and for the sake of the Messenger of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, worshipping during times of fitna is equivalent to that. Fourthly, another thing that we should do during times of fitna is to learn our religion. Study it, Islamic sciences. Why? Because the whole concept of fitna is dependent upon the knowledge of our Sharia. The more knowledgeable we are, the more cognizant, the more recognizing we're going to be of the fitna and how to deal with it. And the more ignorant we are of our Sharia, of our Islamic law, then the more easily we'll be tempted by these fitna. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ correlated ignorance with fitna. He said, time will come, a time will come when knowledge will be raised up and ignorance will prevail and bloodshed, a lot of chaos will be present. So he equated the spreading of chaos, the spreading of bloodshed with the raising up of knowledge. So another thing that we need to do in times of fitna is to learn our religion. And this is something which many of us, especially the pure intellectuals, I like to call them amongst us, say. They say, look at the Muslim Ummah, what is happening to it? And all you do is go and study Quran and Sunnah and Tafsir and Hadith. Rather, you should get involved with this and do this and do that. And they don't realize that the solution to our problems are found in the knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah. Without a firm grounding in the Quran and Sunnah, we cannot do anything. This is the fundamental building block. This is the fundamental step that we need to take before going any further. So learning our religion during times of fitna. Lastly, once we have learned it and implemented it, we need to start teaching it and spreading it to others. We cannot keep this knowledge and treasure hidden from the Muslim or the non-Muslim. We need to tell others about this as well. The Prophet ﷺ gave an example of a society as a ship, he said, where people are of different levels. There are people in the bottom level and people in the top level. And he said that the people of the bottom level, I'm summarizing the hadith basically, he said, what would happen if they were to bore a hole in their portion of the ship? Would it only affect them or would it affect the entire ship? Rather, the entire ship would drown. Therefore, what the Prophet ﷺ is saying is that when you see an evil, you as a collective society have to correct it. If you don't, then it's not just those people who will be destroyed, rather it will be the Muslim Ummah as a whole. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ was asked, are we going to be destroyed even though there are pious people amongst us? He said, yes. He said, yes, if evil becomes prevalent. If evil becomes commonplace, everyone sees the evil and no one says anything, then yes, even the pious will be destroyed. So these are a number of things that we need to do. First and foremost, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, remain firm in our religion. Thirdly, increase our good deeds. Fourthly, learn our religion and study it. And lastly, teach what we have learned to other people. And let us not forget as well, we can add another point here as well, patience. From the beginning of the fitna to the end of it. This is what we need to stick to at all times. The Prophet ﷺ said that the one who is saved from the fitna is indeed happy. In other words, if you're saved from the fitna, that's a good person. But he who is tested and patient, that is the real person. We don't want to be exposed to fitna. We seek Allah's refuge from being tested and tried. But if we are tried, and we remain patient, we have proven ourselves superior to those who are not tried in the first place, in many ways. So the Prophet ﷺ said, he who is saved from the fitna is lucky, yes. But he who is tested and remains patient, that is the man, he said. That is the real person. All of these points that I mentioned, they can be summarized in a beautiful surah that all of you know. This is Surah Al-Asr. The Prophet, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla swears by the time that all of mankind will lose. They will lose this fitna. They will not be successful in the trial and tribulations that will come to them, except those who believe, they're never firm to their iman. And in order to believe, you need to know what you believe. You need to have knowledge. And do good deeds, you need to follow up that belief and action in your worship of Allah, in your dua of Allah. And they advise one another to that which is good, so they don't just keep that knowledge hidden, but they tell others about it.
And then they advise one another in patience as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that a time will come to this ummah, that he who remains firm in the face of fitna, it will be like the one who is holding on to burning coals and embers. This is a parable he gave. The one who is patient during these times of fitna, the one who is patient will be like the one who is holding on to coals and embers. Who amongst us can do this? Very few. And then he said, and he who does so will have the reward of 50 of you. Who was he addressing? The Sahaba. He said, those who are living at those times will have the reward of 50 of you, the companions. The Sahaba were shocked. They said, Ya Rasulullah, they're asking, 50 of us or 50 of them? This is too good, this is too much. The Prophet reiterated, no, 50 of you. The fitna will be so difficult that to remain firm to your religion, to remain persistent in our worship of Allah, is equivalent to holding on to burning embers. And whoever is able to do so during those times will have the reward of 50 of the companions. These are all some of the ahadith narrated about the fitna that will happen to us, and we are witnessing it in our times, and some of the solutions to that fitna. But before I conclude, I would like to point out a syndrome which is unfortunately becoming rampant amongst us today. And this is a syndrome of basically burning out. We find commonly, very commonly unfortunately, that youth towards the beginning of their manhood or womanhood, they turn to Islam. Especially during their first college years, alhamdulillah. There is a revival coming, going along. You find brothers, mashallah, they realize their identity, they go back to their roots. They see what is happening in the world around them. They feel a sense of wanting to do something. So they change their lives for the better. They start praying. They start identifying themselves with Islam and Muslims. They start learning their religion. And during these years of university, they remain firm. Same with the sisters. And they think that this is it, and they taste the sweetness of Iman and the sweetness of Islamic brotherhood. But because they have not grounded themselves enough in knowledge, what happens is when they finish up that level, when they move on to the next stage of life, when they leave the nice and cozy shell of the university, because university is a beautiful shell. You're still away from the real world, you get to boast the best of both worlds basically. You get to taste what it's like to be a good practicing Muslim without the repercussions, the real fitna of society coming to you. So when they reach that level, and they have to look for a job, and then look around to get married, and then they have their kids, and they have to pay the bills, and they have to start their social life. Simultaneously, they see the state of the Muslim Ummah. What is happening in this country? What laws are being passed in that country? Such and such a person that they knew back in their college days in prison, or this happened to him, or that happened to him. And all of a sudden, this person becomes bewildered and confused. He finds fitan bombarding him from all sides. The fitan of this world, the fitan of marriage and children, the fitan of getting an income, the fitan of paying the bills, the fitan of the status of the Muslim Ummah. And he sees, if you like, a large tsunami wave, if you like, coming to him. And he feels utterly helpless. He is so busy in the dunya. He gets so engrossed in trying to just to live his normal life, that in the process he loses that zeal, that zealousness that he had in his youth. And you meet him from time to time in the masjid. He has a different appearance. He has this different look in his eyes. When you talk to him, all these good memories come back of his days of youth. But that person that you meet is not the same that you knew in college. Because when all those fitan came, he was not able to remain firm in the face of all of this. When those waves came, he allowed himself to be washed, helter-skelter. He could not remain firm in place in the worship of Allah. This burnt-out syndrome, we are seeing it more and more. And this is the point that I really want you to concentrate on.
Because unfortunately it is becoming all too common that at this age, between 18 if you like to 20, 25, in this period of youthful zealousness, alhamdulillah, there is a good revival. But because there was not a strong foundation established of knowledge, of iman, of worship of Allah, of purification of the soul, it becomes a passing phase, a fad, which is not remain with him for the rest of his life. My dear brothers and sisters, such a person, when you talk to him and you get out of him what his real problem is, he will come up and tell you, he will say, what's the point of me doing anything? There's just too much going on. What can I possibly do to change all of these things? Who am I? He feels a sense of helplessness, of bewilderment, a sense of not being able to do anything. So he said, what? He says, what is the purpose of me being a better person? I might as well just go with the flow. In order to respond to this type of reasoning, you have to explain to this brother that first and foremost, this is simply not true. This is not true. You don't have to be a person of high power or status or wealth to cause a change in the Muslim Ummah. Rather, many times the opposite is true. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Hadith narrated by Sunan al-Nisa'i, he said, Allah azza wa jal helps this Ummah because of its weak people, not the strong people. Because of their du'as and their prayers and their sincerity. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Allah helps the Ummah because of their weak people. Secondly, in order to respond to this type of reasoning, you explain to the brother that it is not possible that if he changes, it will not cause about an effect in the Muslim world. Rather, just like you cannot light a candle in a room except that you bring more brightness to it, similarly, when a person comes back to Islam, he brings about good in his family and friends. He not only enlightens the way for himself, he brings about a betterment for his relatives, for his family and friends, for those who know him. Remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person follows the religion of his friends, right? Therefore, if one of your friends becomes pious, becomes better, it will have an effect. So this reasoning is simply not correct. Thirdly, explain to him, or her, that even if, for the sake of argument, you cannot cause about a cataclysmic revolution in the Muslim Ummah, you cannot cause about an international change, okay, maybe that's true, but at least you've saved yourself from the fire of hell. Isn't that worth the effort? At least you, inshallah, earth Jannah. Isn't that worth the effort? What more do you want? Suppose you are being selfish, you say, what can I do for the Muslim Ummah? Fine, do something for yourself at least. What is there preventing you from bettering yourself? As Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. All you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire of hell. Another point that we have to ponder over. Fourthly, explain to this brother or sister that do you not realize that the reason we are being tested and tried is because of our own actions? The reason that Allah Azza wa Jal is testing and trying us is because of who we are. Allah says in the Quran, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ تُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let those who disobey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be they Muslim or kafir, let those who disobey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam beware of fitan. This goes back to the initial question: why is this happening to us? Because of ourselves. Remember, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, "Ma yaf'alu Allahu bi'adabikum in shakartum wa amantum." What will Allah gain by punishing you? What will the Rahman, the Rahim, the Ra'uf, the Wadud, what will Allah gain by punishing you? Why is the Rahman punishing you? If you believe and are thankful to him. If you really and truly are believers, why should Allah punish you? But if you're not believers, then the punishment is a mercy in disguise. Just like a parent punishes a child in order to better him, in order to make him a better individual, so too Allah Azza wa Jal will test us, will try us, in order to make us better as well. So the reason we are being bombarded with fitnah is because we have turned away from the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lastly, in order to answer to this type of reasoning, such a person should realize that he is indeed a piece of the puzzle. He is a part of the picture of the Muslim Ummah. Have you ever thought, my dear brothers and sisters, that without me and without you, without each one of us, the Muslim Ummah would not be what it is today? We are an integral part of the Ummah, each and every one of us. Just like a large picture is made up of pieces, just like a building is made up of a lot of bricks. If only one brick is missing, it affects the entire building. One piece of the puzzle is missing, it affects the entire puzzle. One of us is better or worse, it affects the entire Ummah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal does not bring about a change in a nation until they change what is in themselves. A nation is built up of me and you. The Muslim Ummah is composed of me and you. If we are not going to change individually, how do we expect the Ummah to change collectively? We must start with ourselves. We are indeed a piece of the puzzle. Instead of talking grand schemes and large things and complaining and pointing fingers, let us do what we can. Let us be practical. Let us be tangible. What is preventing me and you from being better Muslims? Nothing except our own desires. Let us do this, and in the process, the revolution, the change will come about. When we start individually, one by one, inshallah, it will affect our communities. And in turn, those individuals will affect other communities. And slowly but surely, maybe not overnight, maybe not in my lifetime or yours, maybe not in our children's lifetime, but of a surety, eventually, the victory will be ours. I conclude by quoting a beautiful ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, an ayah that we should all memorize and ponder. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَنْ تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Did you think that you would enter Jannah? وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. And you have not been tested and tried like those before you were tested and tried. Did you think that you would enter Jannah just by saying you are believers and that's it? Did you think that it was that easy to gain the infinite, innumerable blessings of Jannah? Without being tested and tried like those before you were, مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ. Evil and afflictions afflicted them. Problems came to them. وَزُلْزِلُوا. And they were shaken. Their iman was shaken. Physically, spiritually, everything. They were shaken to their roots, to their core, to their foundation. حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى. Until even the prophets and those who believe ask, where is the help of Allah? They were tested so severely, those before us, that even the prophets cried out, where is the help of Allah? Where is the help of Allah? How can this be happening to us as a nation? Do we not believe in Allah? Are we not those who believe in the Quran and Sunnah? Where is the help of Allah? And Allah Azza wa Jalla responds, أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. أَلَا, of a surety, verily, know for certain, that the victory, the help of Allah, is very close. We have to earn it. We have to deserve it. Nothing is more powerful than Allah. If Allah Azza wa Jalla wished, He would restore the honor and glory that the early Muslims had, and of a surety that day will come in our history, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. But have we earned it? Have we deserved it? And the answer to that is a resounding no. My dear brothers and sisters, we are a part of the puzzle. Unless we change ourselves for the better. Each and every one of us sitting here, there is no point complaining. There is no point talking and doing this and that. No. We are a part of the Ummah. And until we change, the Ummah itself will not change. I ask that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us the ikhlas and the patience and the wisdom and the knowledge to withstand all of the fitan, that those which are open and those which are secret. And that He gives us the appreciation to realize the real happiness and the real purpose of life, and that we are not swerved or swayed by our desires or emotions to leave the path of Islam. أقول قولي هذا وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.